The Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada is investigating a Facebook page used by North Coast First Nations. Members of the page often trade salmon, ooligan grease, and other seafood delicacies. But they also trade cockles, a North Coast shellfish that is banned because of concerns over paralytic toxins. To tell us more on this, I'm joined this morning by Charles Menzies. He's a professor of anthropology at UBC and a member of the Gahatla First Nation and also a fan of the North Coast cockle. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. I'd like to start with the Facebook page itself. As I mentioned, it's typically used to trade and barter goods like seafood among coastal First Nations. How typical is it, to your mind, to use social media for trading food?
Oh, it's become really a major source of communication. I mean, I remember when Bebo was a social network page. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it exists anymore. I mean, everyone on the coast, I shouldn't say everyone, but just about all the people you could know, young kids, older people were on it. And it's you know, Facebook and these kind of things are like the modern CB radio for communities.
Right. And have you used it yourself to trade for seafood?
No, I myself haven't ever actually used the Facebook page to trade. I actually speak directly with relatives or get stuff myself.
Right, and I guess that's maybe where this case has become a concern for DFO, because it's the trade of cockles. DFO says paralytic toxins could make the trade of shellfish deadly. What do you think?
Well, beside from kind of facetiously saying, I bet you there's a lot of DFO guys who've actually eaten cockles, it's part of the reason why their concerns about this paralytic shellfish poisoning is because they just don't put any of the resources, and they haven't for several decades, into doing the proper monitoring. That said, people in community have regular beds that they harvest from and places. People are watching that, maintaining that, and it just isn't true that the entire coast is filled with poison in the shellfish.
Very
localized.
And yet, interestingly, I guess you are taking a risk if you are trying to get or trading for those cockles online, because you don't know whether it's had that assessment.
That's true, though I think very little of it will probably have a scientific assessment. It goes with just the practice where people are using them all the time, and there's processes, and, you know, in all my time, the only case I can actually recall, and I'm sure there might be others, of somebody getting paralytic shellfish poisoning. I was a teenager, and it was a story I was told by my scoutmaster, who actually happened to be a DFO officer, about somebody in Work Canal. Some guy from the interior came down and ate some mussels. So, because he was warning us, and his advice was you gently touch it to your lips to see if it tingles.
Uh-huh.
No, I must say, I'm not sure I'd recommend that.
So what do you think in this case? Do you think this is a story about cockles being undervalued by DFO, where there should be more oversight and testing? Or is this a story about how Indigenous traditional ways of trade and barter are being meddled with?
It's probably a little bit of both, but one of the sad things is, at least from a community perspective or from on the ground, for people who are doing the primary harvesting, it just really feels like the enforcement officers spend all their time focusing on Aboriginal harvesters, and the scale we're talking about relative to things that are really serious is pretty small. And given also the kind of ironic situation with the new federal government coming in, making all kinds of statements about changing the relationship with First Nations, to have this kind of happen right in that context, it's a bit surprising. I would have thought that they would have got the orders from the minister to all the way down the line to sort of just step back a bit and evaluate and carefully think through their priorities at the local level enforcement aspect.
So on the one hand, clearly DFO is concerned about danger to the public and to consumption of the cockles. How do you think they could have done it differently?
Well, I mean, I think the DFO should be working directly and openly with First Nations leadership and with resource harvesters to actually help and facilitate the management and the management of safety issues. And nobody in community wants to eat a cockle with shellfish poisoning, but people know through long practice, tradition, and sort of detailed ecological knowledge where things are safe and where they aren't. DFO could actually get, you know, step up to the plate and work with communities to do that, work with the different fisheries divisions within the communities, and provide resourcing and just to, you know, do monitoring. And actually, there is monitoring going on in a little bit. A lot of it's, though, initiated by community.
That's interesting that you say that, because there has been a call to basically increase the responsibility of the coastal guardians to watch out for things happening along the coast that they could get involved in. Do you think that perhaps there should be more money flowing to First Nations communities so that they can be participants in checking to see the safety of seafood as well, not just for Indigenous communities, but for all of us?
Yeah, no, I think that would be the best approach. I mean, the rights and the access rights and the control really and the authority rests in the communities, and the communities need the resources to be able to effectively do that. And so if you had, you know, it doesn't take that much effort to actually run the tests that are required to check, and people know where people are harvesting, basically in community. It doesn't, you know, all it just takes is a little bit of support, and it's, you know, it's really a pretty simple test to run.
Now, I'd like to get back to the question of social media and trade and barter. If the Department of Fisheries and Oceans is keeping a watch on these sites, what sort of impact do you think that has on the social media trade and barter system for Indigenous people?
Oh, it just does. It just does what it's done for 100 years in other means. It just further drives things underground and makes it more likely to involve actual real criminal activity, and that's the real problem. I mean, basically, with the imposition of the Canadian Fisheries Act in the 1870s. All the way through the various modifications of that, which gives criminal charges to people for these infractions. It just drives things underground, creates a culture of a subterfuge, and it's not a good thing. And I think that they really need to back off. The other hand, people seem to forget today with the digital technologies, and people seem to kind of think they have more privacy than they do. I'm always amazed at what people might say online that you would never hear them say in a public meeting or face-to-face, or even some of the, you know, personal admissions or revelations or rude comments. It's kind of surprising, and I think people need to be very aware that there's potential legal implications to what they say online, even if they think they're in a closed Facebook group. Because you can never, and so it's. I think it's always better for people to work face to face,
as you do, as you mentioned earlier in this our story.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of layers to this story, and I imagine we're going to be talking about it more and more as social media penetrates further into our lives. Charles Menzies, thanks for this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. Nice to talk to you again.
Charles Menzies is a professor of anthropology at UBC, also a member of the Kahatla First Nation. We reached him by phone this morning in Vancouver. As I mentioned, lots of layers to this story. We'd like to hear from you. How do you deal with social media? How much of yourself do you reveal? Do you do barter and trade? How safe do you think it is? How important is it? You can let us know all of those things. daybreaknorth@cbc.ca is the way to email us. Call us up on the listener line, 1-866-340-1932.